Hi, this is Fred Dodsworth. This is the National Committee, Finance Committee, for Pacifica. It's August 12th, and right now it is 5:30. We're actually beginning on time. Okay, can we get, Aki's here, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Can you read the agenda, please?
Let me see. Let me get that on here. Okay, so this is the agenda for today. Roll call, 5 minutes.
Point of order?
Yes.
Should we call the roll first?
Yeah, thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. I just got back from vacation and I've not been very...
Yeah, let me call the roll.
Thank you.
Okay. Christine Averroes?
Okay. Here.
Thank you. Tom Chase?
Here.
Thank you. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you. Steve Kukara?
Present.
Thank you. R. Paul Martin?
Here.
Thank you. Fred Dodsworth is here.
Here.
Myla?
Myla Reason here.
Thank you. James Sagerton? We can get back to you. Dennis Williams?
I'm here.
Thank you. Michael Woodson?
Here.
Thank you. Go back to James. Are you still there? Okay, we'll keep track of him. And Stephanie?
Wells? Here.
Thank
here.
You. Susan Young? Okay, she's not here.
Susan will not be here today.
Oh, okay. Thank you. All right, and then there's some other people that's on the meeting that is not on the regular roster. Is that right, Fred?
Did you call Maggie LePeak? And James Staggerton is now here, and Ursula Rudenberg also needs to be called, noted at least.
Okay, so James is here. Maggie?
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And who's the other person?
Let's see. James Staggerton is here.
Right. And then?
You might have him note his name.
Let's see, Christina.
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. I'm here. It's James.
Okay. All right. Okay, Fred.
Thank you. Have we achieved quorum, Aki?
What's that?
Have we achieved quorum?
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure.
I'm supposed to ask you.
Okay, so I can read the agenda here.
Thank you, sir.
After the roll call, there'll be agenda approval for 5 minutes. Approval of the minutes for the July 22nd, 5 minutes. ED report for 15 minutes. And then there are two budget statements, one for the KPFK for 20 minutes, and then one for the affiliates for 20 minutes, and then adjourn at time certain of 10:30.
Great. Is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved.
I don't really have a vote here. Sorry, Fred. I was trying to figure out how to raise my hand.
Please,
I'm wondering
please.
If we could flip-flop KPFK and the affiliates and have first.
Yeah, no problem.
And have who first?
The affiliates go first.
Okay. Is that amenable to everybody? Hearing no objection, we'll have them do that. I do not have the affiliate budget, but I'm assuming that we'll get filled in on that.
It was sent out to everyone last week, and then I believe it was sent out again this morning. Somebody had sent it out.
Okay, well, last week I was in Canada, and I didn't see it this morning, but
forward it.
Go.
And Susan also sent it out too.
Forward it to you, Fred.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. So you, are we going to the affiliates first then? I'm going to go ahead and suggest that you make your report. Oh wait, no, we need that to do the minutes. Everybody saw the minutes. Are there any changes, R. Paul?
No, not for me right now.
Good.
Thank you.
Then I'm going to suggest that the minutes are approved as noted and the agenda shall proceed. We will have the affiliates do their budget, please. Ursula, you're muted.
Should we make a presentation now?
Correct. That's okay. What this company is asking you to do. We've flipped the agenda and moved the affiliates first.
Yeah, I think we froze for a minute there.
Yeah, sorry. Also, I've had to get progressive lenses and I can't manage
them once.
Computer I hate screen them. With them. The floor
is. Yeah, I struggled with them too.
Okay. So, Fred, did you receive the, spreadsheet?
I did not, or I have not.
Okay. Should I send that to Fred right now?
Hang on a sec, just let me see if it came in. Okay, Pacific budget came in today, this afternoon. So I'm assuming, yeah, okay, I can see it now. There it is.
I'm scrambling.
Put it on the screen.
And I just sent it a couple minutes ago to you again.
I'm sorry, my computer does not have.
It was sent out last week.
Camera, so I can't share it.
You want me to share it?
Sure. Yeah. Or okay. Ursula has a camera on her.
He's
okay, great.
So I'm going to share it then.
Okay.
I'm going to try to find it in my email. I'll just watch it on the screen.
There you go.
Right.
And can everybody see it?
So, just to start out quick here, what I have in this first tab, budget overview tab, is the, column B, column A is our accounts. Column B is our actual P&L through August 8th. And then column C is what I project our totals will be through the end of September. So that's a bit of a hypothetical, but it's projected. And then column D is our proposed budget for the 2026 fiscal year. Our current year budget, fiscal year 2025 is in the green. Year before that is in the blue. Tab two is a graph of affiliate program revenue, with total revenue and affiliate fees and internet technology services fees, in the orange.
Why don't you say it? Because he's not showing it. Just give it.
Right.
Just give an overview of what it is.
Right. So, tab two, the second tab is an affiliate program revenue bar graph.
So just give them some of the numbers.
Oh, okay. So, all he has to do is click on it. See?
Well, I know, but he's not doing it.
Do you want me to
share this my screen, Fred?
Yeah. Can you, whoever shared the spreadsheet, can you click on that second tab, summary affiliate income? Right down at the bottom of the screen.
I'm going to give this back to Stephanie because Stephanie, I will make you, stop share.
Just click on that.
Hang on a sec. Hang on a sec. Profile, rename, spot, put away, remove. Oh, Stephanie, how do I turn you into a co-host?
I got it.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, so I was just running through the tabs I have here. Right, the summary affiliate income is the bar graph showing affiliate program revenue. Orange is affiliate fees and our internet services, and then the gray is our total revenue, including grants and donations, basically. And then the third tab, P&L 24 and previous years, is just P&L for fiscal years 2023 and 24. So most of our focus is going to be on that budget overview on the first tab. And we'll start out with let's look at line D8, budget proposed, $230,000. Now that is directly from That is not an inflated amount. That is the total amount that we currently receive from all our affiliates. Our 2025 total revenue is projected from fees alone is projected to be $247,666,000. So I didn't increase that by a lot, as you can see. I actually, given all the affiliate fees we currently have on account for 2026, the total revenue would be $242,964, so approximately $243,000. I put in $230 for the affiliates and then the internet technology services at $22,000 for a total $252,000. And then, this is, I think, a conservative budget. It's the revenue is not inflated. It's based on what we, you know, agreements we currently have at their current fee schedule. So any questions about the revenue? Also one other thing that came up a year ago, the proposed budget for 2026 does not include any fees from previous fiscal years that we will likely collect some of. For example, for column B, actual profit and loss through 8-8, line 6, affiliation fees collected in 2025 for the previous fiscal year are $15,700, out of a total of approximately 22 or so. Some of that will be uncollectible. I think we can expect to receive a small more amount of previous fiscal years. So what I'm trying to say is we run about, at the end of the fiscal year, we run about 25,000 historically in uncollected fees for that fiscal year. And as you can see, for 2025, we've collected over 15,000 of that. So we continue to try to recoup those previous years. I've had a number of personal phone conversations with station managers who really do try to, you know, meet this. And so we'll, you know, our actual income, line 8, column B, that's what we've received so far out of our projected income of, this is only affiliate fees, line 8. The internet technology services subscription in line 9 is also revenue. Okay. So, but the $192,767 of affiliate income is out of our, projected revenue of $220,000. Okay. So that's when I said we typically run about 25 grand short of affiliate fees for the current fiscal year. The line C there, 8C is a projection we might receive still yet, now through September 30th. So anyway,
you have a lot of questions here.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see the hands. Go ahead. Ask questions.
You have to call somebody.
I can't see the hands either because of things. So why don't you call them?
Okay. There is, Myla, James, and Fred.
Okay, thank you. And I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. You're working with Ursula.
Yes, my name's Ruth Wiedemeyer. I'm Ursula's business manager for the Affiliate Network.
Thank you, Ruth. And thanks for the presentation. There was a little bit of confusion at our last national board meeting about the number of affiliate stations. And I'm just wondering if we can get some clarification about the actual number. And then
yes.
I'm wondering whether there's a sliding scale for fees or whether it's just one fee fits all or what is the situation?
No, there's a sliding fee scale and I can send it to you. It's it ranges from, quite frankly, zero. the fee scale is based on budget, not listenership. And it goes as basically the lowest fee that we ask for in the scale is $500, which is the fee for low power stations and internet stations. And then with full power stations, we start at $1,500 a year and it goes all the way up to $10,000. Now nobody pays us $10,000. Our highest paying affiliate is $7,500 and they're kind of way above and beyond most people. I would say the average full power station pays us $2,500, something like that.
Yeah. Average. For high power.
Yeah. So now, and in you know, in truth, there's always a certain number of stations that fall through the cracks that can't pay. And we don't terminate, affiliation based on that because some people fall through the safety net. And, we do charge an administrative fee of, I think, $45,
$35.
And generally, within a few years, they work back up to paying us. So there's always a small percentage that aren't paying anything.
And currently you've been going gangbusters in terms of bringing in new stations, but what's the number now?
It's approximately 200. Probably 202, 203.
So we had been hearing around 250. Have we also been?
Oh, no,
it's never been 250.
Never been 250.
Okay. No. Oh, that was an inflated number. Okay.
Yeah. It usually hovers around between 200 and 225. And it fluctuates a great deal because we're dealing with community radio, but there's always about three stations in the hopper who are in the process of affiliating, which is happening right now. So it's a very active number that goes up and down all the time.
Right. Thank you.
I don't see any significant rise or fall, quite frankly.
Great.
James, you want to go ahead?
Thank you. Hi. Yeah. Hi, Ursula and Ruth. Good to see you. Just a few quick questions. One is this, part about some people not being able to pay right away or some people having their payments trail in a little later in the fiscal year. This is, as you say, this happens every year and we see this and we're used to it. And I guess you built in a cushion into your budget to account for that, right?
Yes, that's correct. Because,
yeah. So that's your SOP and it's working and that's good.
Yeah, and also thanks to Stephanie Wells repaying a debt from Pacifica National, we actually have a cushion. We have a reserve fund. Yeah.
That's very good. I'm glad that money came back to you. That's all very good.
Yes, thank you,
that's
James.
That's appreciated
that
to hear.
Vision.
Yeah, exactly. And I wondered if you are having conversations, if you're hearing anything from your affiliates with the effect of the, you know, winding down of CPB, if you can share with us anything you may know, and not maybe for particular stations, but in general, does that can affect our affiliates?
Sure. So we've been trying to figure out the number. I think we're getting pretty close to the exact number, which I think is 24 stations that have lost CPB funding in our network. They are the most significant 24 because they're the ones that pay the big bucks. So obviously, now granted everybody is working on their budgets right now. So, we have not seen any results of any budgets, but so far nobody has indicated that they are going to withdraw their affiliation or reduce it because of this. Again, I don't I wouldn't say this is the last word because people are working on their budgets, but in general, the fee, I have asked several stations point blank and they have all assured me that they will cut staff before they'll cut a Pacifica affiliation. And so far nobody has suggested that they will change their fees. We've moved over to a rolling over budget where everybody automatically is reaffiliated with a 1% increase every year. And so far nobody has indicated any problem with that. So talk to me in October when everybody's finished their budget. But so far everybody is standing firm with us.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost intuitive that if they're going to be cutting staff and, you know, CPP money goes away and they have more difficulty producing, they may rely on us more than ever. So,
yeah, and we have actually been approached by one NPR station so far saying that they want to switch over to us because of funding.
Great. That's wonderful. And I must say your budget looks much better than it has. I wasn't here for the last year's budget to see that. But it looks really good. I'm happy you were able to do, you know, to make it look more like a budget. That's great. So good for you. Thanks for your report and keep up the good work.
Thanks, James. Appreciate it. We've always appreciated your support. Fred?
Yeah, James covered one of my questions, which is about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting money. I did want to thank you for putting together a very professional presentation, and I can actually see the numbers. I'm happy to say I can understand what you're doing, and that's better than being given a dog and pony show. I see that you are projecting $223,000 in income, and you said you expect that there will maybe be as much as 25,000 that might run short. And that is just a little over 10%. And, I think that's great. I think that you're doing a great job. I really appreciate what the affiliates do. And I hope that we use this opportunity to work better together and more together. I really love what you guys are doing with WBAI in New York. And, I'm hoping that you'll soon be adding KPFA and KPFK to that particular network. My big thing is a national network news program, and I'm looking forward to any efforts that you guys make to help us get to that place. I also wanted to note that the number of the NPR radio stations are changing their tone now that they're not getting corporate funding, and they are going after and actually giving us real information about the critical political situation that we have now. And I frankly rather expect that that's going to drive membership up. One of the reasons I have never subscribed to NPR is I find them to be cheerleaders for ideas and thoughts that I disagree with, and I'm really, really excited to see what the future is going to hold. This is a great opportunity, and you folks are great partners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Fred. It's a pleasure working with you. Steve?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out or help you out anyway. You affiliates have a website, and they list all the affiliate members. Last time I looked, I think it was 217, but don't quote me on that. So if anybody's really curious, that info is available.
Get him a number.
You know, this is the number we're always asked for. And to be really, really honest, we never know ourselves because this is such a dynamic world that we're in with community radio that it's very difficult to keep track of who's coming and who's going. We would have to spend a lot of time keeping track of this. So Ruth is going to double check, but, we experience it as relatively stable as just going up and down in very predictable ways within a certain realm of
206.
So Ruth is saying she has 206 right now.
Yeah, I guess my point really is you got a great website. So if people are curious about the affiliates, maybe We should clean that one.
We'll clean up the map. I'll tell Stephanie to clean, not Stephanie Schubert, to clean up the map. Yeah.
It just takes a little time to be different. I actually liked some of the NPR programming. I loved Prairie Home Companion when Garrison Keillor was doing it, but once he left, I stopped listening.
I listened to public radio on the weekend. There's shows I like.
Oh yeah, some of your affiliates when I travel, they have both your Civic and NPR. Yeah.
Yes.
It looks like we're out of questions.
We did. This is kind of in the realm of gossip here, but we did actually terminate an affiliate this year who was running kind of a bootleg operation, which was fascinating in a weird sort of way. And
what kind of operation did you say?
A bootleg operation.
Uh-oh.
What he did is he set up a series of like 24/7 streams, kind of like a prefab radio station that people could use. But he did it with a Pacifica, a content from AudioPort. And so he was kind of bootlegging our content. And we tried very hard to, make peace with him. And I actually, with the help of our lawyer, Brad Deutsch, came up with a very decent compromise, but he absolutely insisted that he be in charge of things that he couldn't be. So we terminated him.
Use the blind card.
Yeah. So we rarely terminate somebody, but this year we did actually kick somebody out.
My first experience with bootleg radio was back in 1968 when a kid I knew actually did a radio broadcast that covered about 6 or 8 blocks in Scottsdale.
It was pretty outrageous what he was doing. And actually Otis will appreciate, Otis knows this. Even after we terminated him, I asked Otis to find out if he was still accessing AudioPort, and he was like downloading something like somewhere between 10 and 20 shows a day, by kind of manipulating the technology. So it's pretty wild. I mean, we rarely have bad actors like that. I have to say he kind of stuck out. So it was interesting, but Otis blocked him finally, figured out how to totally block him. So, but most people are just incredibly great. We really have to say they're incredibly great. So.
So where do we go from here, kids?
I'm open for any additional questions about the budget, or if we're still on that, or if you look at our expenses, let's see, should I bring up the piano was taken on?
You can. I mean, I don't know.
You guys are operating with a budget that actually is positive. And that is such a refreshing experience for me personally to see. So I'm certainly not going to tell you how to run your business, because you're doing a very good job.
Thank you. This September at the Grassroots Radio Conference, Commissioner Ana Gomez is going to be the keynote speaker, and Pacifica is the official sponsor of Commissioner Gomez. So that'll be it'll be really nice.
We have begun to contribute as a sponsor to Grassroots and NSCB this year. Yeah.
You may find a number of NPR stations that are interested at Grassroots this year.
Yeah, we might. This is true. You were going to say something?
I don't know if I should bring up the piano.
I think since I don't hear any more questions, we want to thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. And I certainly will recommend that we support what you're doing, and we'll send this on to the PNB. Lyndon, I see your hand.
Fred, I have one other question.
Yes.
I'm going to let Lyndon speak first, James.
I would like them to go through the expenses.
Sure.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Okay. Should I bring up the raises?
No, it's up to you.
Okay,
we can hear you.
Okay, you want me to go ahead, Lyndon?
Yes, just, you know, tell us, hit the highlights of the expenses.
Highlights. Well, the projection, the proposed budget is based on our projected 2025 plus maybe some small increases. So, you know, for example, line 21B, our, I mean, that's a constant. So that stays the same. The benefits, we've paid all our health insurance for the year. That's the projected 2025 C32. I actually don't know if that is going to increase for next year.
So it's projected to increase up to 35%.
Whoa. Wait, it increased 20% last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's gonna be tough.
So are you saying that your projected, you said you paid all your,
health insurance.
The health insurance, yes. Line 22. So you paid 24,000 and that's the total of it?
No, sorry, Lyndon, the 24,000 is the actual through August 8th. So our health insurance through the end of the fiscal year will be 32,725. Okay. And I didn't have a figure or a projection at all for next year. So there's no increase in that. And this, what I heard, this 35% is the first I've heard right now. Last year it went up about 20%, I believe, Stephanie. So I kind of didn't think it would do that again. but I don't have any, information on that yet.
We haven't heard of any increases as of yet. We are meeting with our insurance broker within the next couple of weeks so we can have more, training for our employees when it's time for open enrollment that everybody can go through and kind of have an option. And then we're also looking at the possibility of our union staff using union insurance, but we don't know if it covers as much as supposed to be covered with our union agreements, and it doesn't provide life insurance. So, we'll have more information about insurance options for this year, for next year, within the next few weeks after we speak with our
brokers. I would say that's our biggest
unknown.
Expense unknown. And unknown,
it's,
yeah.
Yes, it's our biggest unknown. But, you know, that isn't really typically known, at least until, like, you know, after October. You know, right. It's like November, December before we know what that's going to be. So anything else with the expenses?
No, but was it Fred who said it's going up 35%?
I have read that it's projected to go up 35% due to the enormous cuts they're making.
Well, okay. I read that like for ACA and changes to the IRA. But I didn't hear that, haven't seen that for just general, health insurance, but.
We did raise the wage, the salaries a little bit. Last year I raised, Stephanie Schubert's wages, who's the,
operations.
She's the operations manager here. She's not on this call. And I gave her a 3% cost of living raise this year. And I gave a little bit higher raise to myself and to Ruth. I have been traditionally underpaid in this organization, and I'd like to be paid a little bit more. And Ruth has been doing a great job, and I felt she should be paid a little bit more too. So that is an increase there.
I would say.
Since we felt we could afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ursula ran those by me. Ursula talked to me about it as well. It's not like they're just randomly, you know, giving each other.
No, we're able to do this mainly because of the 30,000 that the national has paid back from loans they've taken to meet payroll and such over the year at the national office. And, so that's really why we're able to do that this year. I do want to add that, until 2023, Ursula is making less than the minimum of 60K for a network manager. So that's when I increase in our budget for the next year to the 60K minimum. So for this year, 3 years later, I've put in a 7% increase for her as well. Bringing her total to, well, that's 7%, 4,200 a year would be a 7% increase. But, and like I said, to my knowledge, 60K, which she has currently received since 2023 from a previous salary for many years of under the minimum. So I worked that into that budget as well.
What are your consulting services? I see you have almost 12,000 so far, 13,000 projected.
Yeah, consulting services in the notes there has been, the consulting services is composed of our IT support, David Klan, and the 1,047 we pay monthly to Public News Service for their show 2025 Talks, which is a daily 3-minute airing of national politics. We have been offered to, how do I say it, that National is going to cover PNS from now on?
Yeah, the PNS, Pacifica National has agreed to take on the costs for Public News Service.
For the national broadcast from Public News Service.
Line 27?
Yes.
Is Lisa a consultant too? Is she part of that? Or is that
yes, Lisa is.
Yeah. But we don't pay that.
No,
we pay for Lisa.
We didn't this year.
Correct.
Yeah.
We don't
right.
pay that.
So our IT support is a very reasonable, under $3,000 a year. David Klan is key to the network operation with IT support for our affiliates. And it's incredibly generous.
Yeah, he's a really good deal.
Yeah. He's also just got such a lovely way of interacting with people, with affiliates that have questions about their IT services, et cetera, et cetera. He's so patient and knowledgeable and so helpful, and he's invaluable. So with that, you know, we're able to,
did you have any other questions, Lyndon, about the?
No, I thought it was kind of odd that we stopped at revenue.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, they put this together, and so a budget is both. And so
I wanted to see
what the other lines were.
Yeah, a lot of it are fixed costs, you know, like postage and supplies.
Yeah, I would say the rest of those line items there are fixed cost, except let's look at line 30D. Line 32, I'm sorry. Line 30D, where our software and subscriptions has increased. We need to redo our database.
Yeah, we need a new database.
So that's the increase, from projected 2025 to proposed, because our database is so antiquated. Like, I cannot even, download the fields from this database. With a new database, I'll probably have to input everything, because I cannot find out a way to download the fields from this old database.
Yeah. I mean, partly we've been kind of hesitating because we know that, you know, Stephanie and Pacifica National are also going over like what kind of databases they want to use. So we want to try and be as in sync as possible when we finally buy something.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I think this year is going to be the year, right, Stephanie? I think this is going to happen.
We'll have a a client database that will be network wide. Because even the databases that we thought were using, you know, working well, like a KPFA, it's not working for them. So we are looking to find something that every unit can be a part of so we can better track our donors and our subscribers and our supporters.
Yeah. If I might add, our IT consultant, David Klan, has suggested a database software to us, hasn't he?
He has.
We haven't investigated it yet, but he'd probably be the first one I'd, you know, listen to.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And he has some options that he doesn't charge us for everything.
Okay.
You know,
we're going to put together a little team that kind of is looking at what we need. Yeah, I don't want to overbuy, which I think is what happened with,
these were pretty reasonable. Yeah.
In my previous
nonprofit job at our local community radio station, I installed little green lights, which was $500 a year.
Yes, I'm very familiar with Little Green Light.
So, you know, and while we're talking, I do want to acknowledge Otis too. He's kind of an invisible part of our operation, but you know, he's really crucial. And I just want to acknowledge Otis and all of this.
Yes,
we love Otis.
He tends to remain invisible. So,
yeah.
Steve, did you have another question, or are you lingering from before?
I just wanted to point out, typically on a budget, you would also list the previous year so you could reflect on the performance from the previous year. I did that myself from the consolidated reports, and I'm not going to quibble with your projections. You're going to end the year even, which is great, but I believe that you're heading into some strong headwinds next year. I don't believe all 24 of those stations are going to hang around. So, I don't know if that we as a finance committee could do anything to help. And if you guys have anything that you wish PMB would help with, I'd like to hear that.
Well, thank you. Well, I'll definitely keep that in mind.
And if Steve...
Mr. Sagerton had a question.
Oh, okay. Could I address Steve first?
Sure, please.
Go to James. Steve, the third tab, P&L 2024 and 2023 fiscal years, that's our actuals from those previous fiscal years. Now, you wanted to see the budget from the current fiscal year 2025. That is in the green... that is the 2025 budget. And then the 25 actuals are in column B, and the projected for 2025 in column C. So that's our 2025 budget in the green, actual 25 and projected.
Thank you. I missed that. I got the document here and didn't click that tab. Sorry.
Oh, no problem. James?
Thanks. I have a couple things. One is, I see there's some legal services there. Is that having to do with keeping your agreements with your affiliate stations up to date? Or I noted you mentioned some legal counseling. It was done with the one person you had to disconnect from. What are the legal services that you usually...
Yeah, with the person we had to terminate, that all I had to do was say that we had contacted her, although Brad did give me some good advice. But generally, the legal fees are have to do with contracts, because the contracts constantly need to be improved. And we do once in a while have a question, like recently there was a question about a particular program in AudioPort, whether it was inside or outside the boundaries of what was acceptable in broadcast. And so we did, Stephanie Wells and myself, had a meeting with Brad to talk that over and to talk about how to handle some of these cases that might feel on the edge. This was a show that called itself something Intifada. It was Digital Intifada or something. And
Electronic.
Thank you. And they were kind of pushing the boundaries, but Brad was fine with it. And he gave us some advice on how to kind of create some safeguards around that show to make it, you know, to protect us a little bit.
We've also did.
So I do have questions, you know, especially now with this crazy, you know, world we're in. People are pushing all sorts of weird boundaries that sometimes I just really don't know, you know, what's safe for Pacifica. And so I try to, you know, err on the side of safety and ask a lawyer, you know.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Everything you said makes perfect sense.
Change we did this year with the legal fees is why it hasn't been that high in the past. But the big change this year was that when we rolled out the agreements, they used to be renewing annually, and Brad redid our contracts to make them rolling, automatically renewing that the affiliate can terminate or negotiate the fee by July 1st of every year. Otherwise, it's going to just automatically roll over with a 1% increase each year. This has really streamlined our operations because I don't have to try and get agreements back every year from all the affiliates every year. And so that actual in B25 is, you know, includes the fees to update those contracts to include that.
James, I muted you because you were making a noise and made it hard for the other people to hear.
Sorry, yeah, sometimes my phone does that. Sometimes I do that. just one last area, and that is, and by the way, all that makes perfect sense what you were saying, and I'm glad to hear it, all of it. I've heard it estimated that our five stations may have the potential, you know, to reach about 20%, 25% rather of the U.S. population. And, you know, I don't know. I don't remember where that number comes from. But how many people in addition to our main stations? I know the affiliates, I think it's WFRG in Georgia, are pretty big, almost as big as some of our small signals. How much more coverage, a total, if you have any idea, do we get through our affiliates? You know, I know we don't own, but they're putting our message out there by playing our content, which is what we want.
Brian Collier actually did try to figure that out, and he came up with a number, and I can go back and find that email and send it to you. It was pretty big. It was a big number. It turned out to be a pretty big number. And he found some systematic way to poll the stations to find out what their listenership was approximately. And it was pretty significant. It was, you know, quite a few million.
Well, of course, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, just because we have the ability to reach them, it doesn't mean they're all listening. But I'm always curious to know what potential we actually have if we could, you know, utilize it all. Anyway, thank you so much. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks, James.
I'd like to move us on to KPFK because we have to deal with that. And if there's nothing else that we need out of the affiliates right at the moment, then I think it would be good to move on to the next item on the agenda.
Yeah, I think just one more quick thing. The comment about stations leaving us, which I understand is very possible as things get rough. We are very serious about diversifying our income and, you know, thinking of new ways to diversify that. We see that as a reality that we really should take seriously, and we are.
Me, I'm a bit of an optimist, and I really expect that listeners will want to hear what you've got to say. And the 25% was true when I covered KPFA, and that's a big one. Back in 2000, it covered the broadcast area covered 25% of the American population, but it didn't come anywhere near that in terms of actual listeners.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much for your questions.
Thank you so much for your good work. I look forward to more.
Pleasure. So we'll check out unless there's a reason. Should we leave?
Yep. Or you can listen if you want. We're going to go on to KPFK.
I did have a question on budgeting and financing and working with other public radios like NPR. I mean, besides NPR, like The Guardian, anyway, other public radio stations, that we work collaboratively with them in this time. Is there a possibility that we can, or how we can do that, or if it's possible?
You know, we have no idea what the future holds. It's a crazy world. I mean, we do have a significant number of affiliates that are NPR stations already. Is more going to happen? None of us know what's going to happen, right? I mean, this is crazy what's going on. So we're certainly open. We, you know, thanks to Stephanie, we've made some really great connections with National Federation of Community Broadcasters, although we don't know what NPR and public radio stations are going to do. We really don't know.
Okay.
Kind of depends on where they go from here. But I mean, we do have public radio stations in our network already.
Okay.
Who is Ace on the screen? I don't recognize that name.
Hi, my name is Ace. Yeah. I work at KPFK.
Excellent. Thank you. That's all I didn't know.
Yeah, sure. I guess that's and we invited. Our, yeah, we invited him. I'll explain when we move on to KPFK.
All good.
Okay. Thank you,
Ruth. Bye-bye. Thanks,
thank
Ursula.
Thank you so much. Definitely. You guys are great.
Thank you.
Yes, Ace has joined us. Ace can introduce himself, but he's been very instrumental at KPFK working with Maggie and pretty much every single department and person at KPFK, taking a deep dive into expenses that a lot of us were unaware of, why we're connected with certain vendors. Why did we go with this person? How can we make payments less, you know, how can we cheapen this? Can we go to a different vendor? So he's really jumped in head first in helping to decipher a lot of the questions that we have with KPFK. So we figured it would be very beneficial to have him on to help explain where we're going and, you know, some of the changes that he and Maggie and some other members of the team have discussed with KPFK moving forward.
Here to learn and to try to help. Nice to meet you guys.
Pleasure to have you aboard. So who's going to handle the KPFK budget?
I will pull up the income statement. And it again is one of those are a typical very large screen. So I will.
Hi, Christina. Christina and I work together on the governance committee.
And this is following the same format that we've had with the other, with a lot of the other stations. So we have the every month. That's with the total year prior, and I can just so you can see what I'm closing off, so it's not so difficult to
Stephanie,
look at.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, when I was looking at the spreadsheet, and one of the things that wasn't clear to me in starting with row S, following the column, not row.
Mm-hmm.
Following the column of total prior year, we have the months October, November, December, et cetera. And are those actual numbers? It's not clear what those numbers are.
Yes.
So for example, in June, we only brought in 34,900, and this is row AA. The total revenue in listener support was 34,936. Is that correct? That's
correct.
The actual. Okay. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
So one of the things that, you know, that everybody, obviously is well aware of is that have had a lot of changes at KPFK. We haven't had a lot of consistency, at KPFK, and we, you know, we're kind of thrown into a bit of a turmoil with the selling of the building, with moving into some place we thought was going to be temporary, and now it's more permanent, and now we need to find a permanent place, and there's been programming changes and staffing changes and all of that. So Maggie stepped in April, I believe.
No, I stepped in at the end of November.
Oh, okay.
November of last year.
Okay, to really make, to just kind of take a deep dive and make some significant changes with trying to build up some camaraderie with staff, taking a close look at programming, and what we need at the station, what staffing we need, you know, so there's a lot of work that that Maggie has been doing that's been quite overwhelming, as with many of our general managers, but she really did step into a station that needed a lot of assistance. So as we look through, I mean, a lot of the details regarding what we had projected for the year prior, didn't really, when we had made the budget for this upcoming year, it was based upon conversations with the prior general manager, which was based upon conversations with the prior general manager with that. I think since I've been here, there's been at least four or five different general managers at the station. So our goal really has been to stabilize the station and try to put some policies, and not policies really, but just practices in place to try to, again, to stabilize and to find a permanent home for KPFK. So they have continued throughout all of this with their fund drives. And Maggie, please by all means jump in at any time, because you have made a significant difference in the programming and the fund drive dollar amounts. If you want to add, you know, things that you've changed and, you know, things that you've seen that have gone to the better during the fund drives, or.
Well, I mean, just in the most recent drive, it was 18 days. And our daily average was about approximately $7,000 per day, which last year at this time, it was about $2,000 per day. And that was, of course, going about 30 days.
What were the dates of those 18 days?
We started August. Let me see. I should probably
19th, perhaps.
It was. I gotta open up. Let's see. Oh, we started actually in July. So, and then July 22nd through August 8th, and. Yeah, we just, the goal I had set was for 10,000 per day. And we didn't quite get there, because there's just still a lot of programs that don't, that they're not raising any money. So we're working on a plan to, you know, encourage folks to, you know, just to raise money. And if they can't raise money, maybe, you know, the show should go online, or I don't know. There's all kinds of alternate things. But, Yeah, it's kind of been a struggle, but we brought in the program from KPFA, Kat Brook, Law and Disorder, and she did incredibly well, Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. But then as soon as they ended their drive, it was difficult, you know, to organize, you know, pre-recorded pitches, and then the money kind of went down. So that's why the averages dropped in the last week of the drive. But so there's, you know, logistics to work out. Mitch Jezerich has done really well, and he's on in the morning and rebroadcast in the afternoon, but he's going to be leaving. So that's another thing that we have to figure out what to do. But
who's going to be leaving?
Mitch.
Mitch. He's retiring.
Okay, thank you.
He might be on one day a week.
Yeah.
But he's just, you know, there's nothing bad is going on. He's just burned out. It's understandable. It's a lot of on-air fundraising. And he's, you know, he's got a lot of pressure. And I just think he wants to travel and do some other things. But I think we're going to rebroadcast a lot of his shows probably to go throughout the rest of this year.
We're looking to do a best of series.
Yeah, and then that sort of thing.
Back for special events or for special broadcasts.
Yes. And then I have to give it to Mansoor and Ace for the Chris Hedges event that they organized. And that was very successful financially. And they're going to be doing another one with Tom Hartman, I believe. So just good to have some, you know, enthusiasm back at KPFK with live events. We're also going to be on the streets next month for Ciclovia down in the Watts South Central area. So, and we haven't done live events in, it seems, anything successful anyway, in quite a few years. So slowly but surely things are kind of turning around, but we have a very long ways to go. I just want to mention that Ace has been, you know, like a blessing from the heavens to help in so many ways. Because it's just so much work, and you know, I'm actually doing like 3 full-time jobs, and I just couldn't do it without his support, getting the website in order, updating shows, making the website, you know, more user-friendly, better to look at, and you know, and like I mentioned, the events and just so many other things. He's been absolutely, you know, crucial in the growth of the station. So thank you, Ace.
Well, thanks, Maggie and Stephanie, for the kind words. Just to tag on to that, in addition to Tom Hartman next month, we're also looking at events with Robert Scheer and Cornel West coming up and trying to strengthen the relationships between the California stations so we can do West Coast tours for some of our guests.
Excellent.
Well, that's what we did with Chris Hedges, because Chris was, you know, did an event for KBFA and then he came down our way.
But yeah, Chris was vocal that he thought our event was the best produced of all the ones that he did on that tour. And we grossed about 17 grand for that one evening.
Yeah, it's so pretty amazing.
Maggie, I was listening to the news the other night. And I noticed that they kept talking about telling listeners that they were listening to KPFA. And there, in the middle of the broadcast, there was a spot where that people were encouraged to attend a couple of different events in Berkeley that weren't part of the, you know, wasn't part of the broadcast. It was just a spot that came in at about 15 minutes before the end of the news hour. And I'm just wondering, when we import at KPFK programming from KPFA, whether why our board ops or traffic isn't on top of the fact that, that we're listening, that we're broadcasting in Southern California from KPFK. And I'm wondering whether specifically during the news, whether you could work something out with the news department up at KPFA so that they, since we've been, picking up the KPFA, news hour for quite some time now, whether they might just say something about the fact that the news is being heard on KPFA and KPFK.
They do. They don't, they're not as consistent as I would like them to be. And I am in, you know, communication with Antonio, the IGM, and Jose, the, PD about it. But, when we're in fun drive, and unfortunately we're not synced with the drives. Like, they have a drive that's coming up, in about a month, which, you know, I just found out about, and it kind of throws everything off, because I really didn't want to start, that early, like the first week of September. So I'm not quite sure what to do, but, it's not perfect that, we do have so many KPFA shows on. But I have worked with them, and when we are in sync during drives, they pitch just like Mitch has been doing for years. He's been the best at it, where he's talking to KPFK and to, well, first to KPFA, but to KPFK equally. And I'm getting Kat to do it. The news, you know, they just got a new news director, and it's a lot of people. So if they don't in one broadcast, it might just be because there may be some new volunteers or something. I don't know. It's not perfect, but we're doing the best that we can. And I'll make sure that, you know, if there are spots being played, which I don't recall any spots being heard during the news, mm-hmm. that, you know, they could cue the board op to play, you know, a KPFK spot, or just, I don't know, go to music. I've never noticed that.
45 minutes into the hour,
they take a break and play a spot.
That's what I heard.
Every day? Monday to Friday?
I just heard it the other day.
Well,
I don't listen every day, but that's what I was, happened to be listening at that time and heard that.
I'll talk to Gary about that, and he has a very, because that's where Gary comes from, Gary Baca, our IPD. He can call directly actually to the master control there. So I'll have him look into that.
Thank you.
And I don't know, does anybody have any, questions?
Lyndon just raised his hand.
Yes, thank you. I was just looking. I see that you have averaged like 78,000 a month in fundraising. So, you know, with 3 months to go, you ought to healthily beat, the 2 years ago number that you're showing here of 776 on listener support. And I had not seen this previously, but I saw the Word document. And so now I see, I think the major income, or major donor income, which was a bequeathment, I guess. And that, so now that starts to make sense. So could we go, have Ace go through the, some of the things he learned on the expense side?
Ace?
Yeah. This is not something we had prepared, so I'm not sure how much detail, you all would like me to go into here.
Things that you've shared with me is like the phone services, trying to, you know, build up some of
the call center,
you know, all those sort of things that we're trying to clean up. A lot of this is still, we're trying to clean it up. So please, you know, please keep that in mind every day. I'm speaking to the choir here with Maggie and Ace, but it's almost like every day some sort of surprise pops up of a bill that has been found or a vendor that we shouldn't be with, you know, those kind of things. So it's constantly evolving. But I feel that we have a better grasp on it this year than we did last year and, you know, are really trying to mold it into a better run station this upcoming fiscal year.
What are the legal fees for?
I'm sorry, whose question was that? Was that Fred?
Yes.
Yeah, basically, looking at our different systems, the utilities that we have, the subscriptions, and some of our software as a service solutions where there's immediate potential for cost savings without any kind of appreciable drop in quality or service uptime. Easy wins, high impact, low effort, just trying to get everything tidied up, like Stephanie said.
And that's legal fees?
No, you would ask me about some of the financial cleanup stuff that I was doing, I believe.
No, that was Lyndon.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was Lyndon. Okay. I'm new here.
Oh, and then I just wanted to mention we're having lots of issues with our transmitter. And in December, I started a campaign before the fund drive started to raise money specifically for, you know, repairs to the transmitter. And my goal was $25,000, and we raised over about $34,000.
Excellent.
So then we received some money from a bequest, which in the last, I don't know, 6 months. And I sort of kind of borrowed $25,000 from I didn't really borrow it. I just, you know, made a campaign to match $25,000 from a major donor, and we matched it in less time than I had set for it before the July to August drive started. So we raised another, I don't know, close to 30,000. So we just had a kind of a Zoom meeting yesterday about, you know, phases of the repair process of the transmitter. And like I had a meeting this morning in West LA and I had to take Laurel Canyon, you know, over from the valley to the west side. And KPFK was strong the entire, I mean, it only went out briefly when I was deep in the canyon. But that was like the first time in a lot of years that the signal has been this strong. So the work is really paying off. I mean, it was kind of amazing. I couldn't believe how strong the signal was.
Congratulations on the signal improvement. I was aware of that problem. I did ask about the legal expenses, though.
Yeah, and Maggie, too, has made an effort when there has been specific needs, like getting us back to full power, that she's sent out specific letters to people, emails, that's really toward that need. And I think it's been very helpful for the listeners and supporters to be able to get, this is what we need to get the power back on. This is what we need to fix the station or to fix the transmitter. And we're holding those funds for the transmitter as well. This is an FYI in a separate bank account at Bank of America. And it's been on the ED reports for the national board. That's just the tower restricted fund. So we have a couple of extra open accounts at Bank of America that's just for that purpose whenever a station needs restricted funds, and then that way we can keep better track.
You mentioned a legal. What legal? I don't know.
We don't have any legal fees so far this year. This is for 2 years ago, and this is last year.
I'm sorry. I was not aware of that. I just see a C and an R.
Yeah. And then anything, I know with Ace, you were finding some things with the phone service company that we have.
So there's Arc Telecom, based out of Maryland, that I think we're paying, in my opinion, significantly above market rates for the type of service that we need. There is TAS United, a virtual secretary service that we farm phone calls out to during high volume periods. We were originally paying them close to $3,000 a month, and I found replacement vendors on the order of $50 to $100 a month. So big operational savings on some of these utilities. I think I've discovered about probably $5,000 or $6,000 a month in savings.
So when things like that are brought to my attention, whether that's through KPFK, WBAI, WPFW, you know, whatever a station finds something like that, then they'll bring it up to me. We'll talk with Mo, Otis, anybody else to try to get the history of why we're in this type of, you know, why we're in this agreement. Is there a contract? Can we break the contract? Can we talk to the people and keep the contract to try to, you know, renegotiate it? So not having a business manager per se at KPFK for quite a few years and bills just kind of getting lost and mail not being forwarded and then being forwarded or not being forwarded again, it's been really helpful to be able to have Ace and other people that are in the building there really take a look at some of these expenses and take a deep dive to see what's necessary and what's not necessary to try to save money and just become more efficient.
Steve, you had a question? You're muted.
Yeah, the major donors, the previous years, you have almost every month some sort of income recorded as major donors. And this year, you only have the single month. Are you guys accounting for it differently now? Or what were they doing previously? One of the two. And I'm kind of confused about these numbers. When I looked at the consolidated for 2024, they're not matching up, which I'm seeing on this document. So it's a chronic problem with Pacifica Records.
The major donor income across the board has not always been clearly defined with all of the stations. When it says, for example, $1,000 per year, my question has been, when it's been in budgets, is that a $1,000 plus one-time gift? Is that when someone reaches that threshold of $1,000, then it's moved into the major donor category? Is it a pledge? And the stations, from when I've looked at different reports, have all done things differently. And so we're wanting to basically, and a lot of it is how it's coded again, when that gift comes in. So we are trying to let the stations know that a one-time gift of $1,000 or more, which is fairly low, honestly, but anyway, would be labeled as or coded as a major donor. So possibly with KPFK, they haven't been coding anything that's been coming in as a major donor income, but putting it all into listener support. KPFA, for example, any gift that comes in that's not during a pledge drive, they don't consider listener support and it falls under major donor. So those are the things that with these financial, you know, with the financial policy document that we're, you know, working on, that the NFC is reviewed and we want to try to clear that up. And then with the standard operating procedure manual that we'll be rolling out to all the stations as well by the end of this year, we can get better clarification as to what that actually means. What is listener support? What is a major donor income? Should it stay at 1,000? Should it move to 5,000? And then we don't have a line item for bequests. So, and you can't budget a bequest. So when those bequests come in, which is what we see in 6Z6, is that, yeah, it's major donor, but not really in the world, the official world of development. You know, in any other place I've ever worked, we would never consider a bequest a major donor gift. That's a bequest and you can't budget those. So we're working it out.
Yeah, well, I would suggest, I don't see a need for this major donor line item. I think in the past they needed it for CPV, but that stuff's long gone. So why are we being burdened with those old legacy recording things? Anyway, that's
for tax purposes. We do have to, in our taxes, we have to list a major donor that's over, I believe it's any gift that's over 2,500. It may be 5,000. I'm a little tired, but for tax reasons, we have to list those in the 990s. But again, the dollar amount of what is for the 990s does not match the dollar amount of what we consider a major donor. So, you know, the 1,000 plus makes no sense.
Let's move this on to Myla.
Yeah. So Stephanie, that does answer the question of this $343,000. I'm wondering whether, we should add another line item for bequests. And I know that we can't project, that we will have bequests, but we can have that line item for actual income.
Correct.
Separate from, major donor income so that it's clear. But I actually wanted to circle back, and talk again about the transmitter. It's my understanding that we have a very, old transmission system that we, continue to repair in order to improve our signal strength. But that what is really required is actually a new transmission system that would cost possibly as much as $200,000 or $150,000. So we're just sort of keeping a very old system running because we don't have the resources and the capacity to, is that correct? To actually upgrade and have the the transmission system of our dreams.
Correct. We are, you know, thankfully with the staff that we have with, you know, Mo and, you know, with Stuart's knowledge of the transmitter, we have transmitter problems at a lot of the stations. And so Mo is constantly creating for us wish lists. This is what we need. This would be the ultimate. What can we do right now to get by until we can get where we need to go? So technically KPFK, we need a capital campaign for the entire transmitter, which I had guesstimated at one point I've heard as high as 250,000. And then we also need a campaign to find KPFK a home. You know, whether that, and I know that there's, some folks that are working on that now, trying to find a place that can be donated to us, or that we're in, you know, partnership with the university. So we are having those continuous discussions. And until we, I think, you know, stabilize the programming, stabilize the staffing with what's needed, we have the plan for the capital campaign, but it takes a while to roll out a campaign. Usually when you officially announce a capital campaign to the general public, you've already raised close to 60 to 70% of your funds. So we have to make sure that we know exactly what we need for the transmitter, how much that's going to cost, how long the process will be for us to get it to the place where we need it to be, do a silent campaign where we're reaching out to those individuals that have been identified that could give us that money to start with. And then once we have a large portion of it, then we go public. So it's kind of an art to a capital campaign, but,
And also the repairs that we're making to the transmitter now, they should give us because we're in the maybe third phase of four phases. Once we get the final phase completed, we should be okay for at least 5 to maybe even 10 years.
So Mo doesn't anticipate additional repairs after we get this phase completed. Is that what you're saying, Maggie?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be problems, Myla, but the bulk of the major work will be done.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
James Egerton. You're muted, sir.
James? I have two questions. One is for Ace. You seem to be using the language of a business manager when you're speaking. You know, you've been checking on market rates for certain vendors and expenses. And I appreciate the sound of that. And I just wonder if you could say a little bit about your background. This is the first time I've ever spoken to you directly. And I don't know if I've heard of your hire and your background before tonight. But that just may be my lack of attention, but, wondering what's your background? And I'll just kind of throw my second question in here. You know, sometimes it does seem like we're trying to hold things together with chewing gum and string, and it's hard to think outside of that box. But I wonder what kind of a YouTube presence we have, at KPFK. And I could just as well say any of the other stations, but, you know, sometimes it seems like if you put something on YouTube, you suddenly get a whole new source of revenues coming in. And that might not be so expensive as even getting a new transmitter. And maybe we could start to bring in some of that extra money by emphasizing the YouTube, avenue. Anyway, do you have any experience in that area, Ace? And what is your background in terms of, you know, dealing with vendors and that sort of thing? You sound like, you may have had some.
I'll just speak really quickly on this, and anybody can feel free to follow with me. I don't want to take up too much of our group time. But my background is pretty varied. I would probably refer to myself as a general specialist. I've worked in a lot of different industries, finance industry, nutraceuticals, pharmaceuticals, design, architecture, construction. And I specialize in working with startups and helping them scale their systems, from working, operating like a lemonade stand to a real business. KPFK is definitely the most legacied institution that I've worked with. But that is both an opportunity and a challenge, as I'm sure you guys know. That's as, you know, as much as I'll go into that, you know, worked operations, legal support, marketing, sales, product, all that stuff. As far as YouTube goes, there are a number of YouTube accounts out there, unfortunately, because this is public radio.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, taken... Ace just stop.
I just muted James.
Thank you.
Many people over the years have taken it upon themselves to create YouTube channels for KPFK, so there are several, with very official sounding titles and profile pictures. So I'm reaching out to those people and having them rename their YouTube channel something, you know, personal and unofficial. We have created one channel recently. Unfortunately, a lot of our content does not lend itself to being advertiser friendly, or fortunately, maybe that's a point of pride. But we are exploring looking into ways to chop up our content in ways that can generate ad revenue on YouTube. Thanks for the questions.
I could just follow up briefly. So do you see that as a possible, a useful revenue stream to pursue even while we are, again, trying to hold our transmitters together with chewing gum and string?
I think it is a great avenue for growth. Revenue, I'm not sure revenue will follow growth, but there is a massive untapped audience of under 40s who have never been introduced to KPFK, and I think YouTube is a viable way to reach them.
Thomas Chase.
Thank you. I just had a question about the that major donor line item. I'm not sure if I got it right from what you said. Is that money in the bank or is that bequest? The $343,000.
That's money that was received in the bank.
Okay, thank you.
Myla?
Yeah, I'm actually kind of alarmed at the approach that we might actually use YouTube for as a revenue stream. At KPFA, we have Mitch Jesuits and other programs, the news and others. They are non-commercial. They do not have a revenue stream attached to that YouTube, the YouTube programming that goes out on KPFA. And since Cape Pacifica is basically a non-commercial radio foundation, I think that it might be a mistake to have YouTube videos with all kinds of who knows who advertising on our YouTube channel. I think that that could be problematic, and I think it's something worth thinking about before deciding to go ahead with it. I think that's a major decision that that requires a certain amount of deliberation. Thank you.
Can I actually kind of semi-respond to that? Egberto Willis is our superstar when it comes to YouTube. And he has not just YouTube, but he has a Substack and a variety of other things. And he has tens of thousands of people who are subscribing to his unit. And I understand Mitch has somewhere around 10,000.
But they're not commercial. They don't take advertising.
Well, actually, if they're on YouTube, they can either take it or not take it.
Well, when I watch Mitch on YouTube, it's not, there's no advertising.
That's fine.
I watch Egberto on YouTube, there's no advertising.
That's fine. What I'm saying is that
corporate advertising on a Pacifica affiliate YouTube channel might be problematic. It might be something that we need some deliberation about prior to going forward with making it a revenue source for Pacifica or for KPFK.
If I could just jump in as potentially the resident YouTube expert here, if you accept the default ads on YouTube, there is no correspondence between the advertisers and the content creators. YouTube automatically assigns advertisers to your videos. There's no connection between the content and the advertisers. Furthermore, when you're posting videos about genocide, a lot of this is a moot point.
that may be, but I would appreciate some deliberation about it. Thank you.
Thomas, your hands up again?
Yeah, just quickly, I would agree with Myla on that. One thing I wonder, can we do like pre-roll ads and underwriting on that kind of content instead of commercial ads coming from YouTube? I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Absolutely, we can. Thank you. Good.
Are there any more questions? Okay, where do we go from here, guys? Are we done, Maggie, and are we done, Stephanie?
Yeah, I mean, I, as I said, this is really, we'll have a much better idea, I think there'll be more discussion as we present the actual budget for the next year, because what we're looking at now is, brainstorming on leadership, and brainstorming a bit on, the positions that are needed within the station, the, programming, moving, all these things. So we'll have a much better grasp of the potential, but I think that KPFK, as we look forward into next year as well, is that KPFK is a station that we want to make sure that we bring the figures to the National Finance Committee on a regular basis so we can keep track of what we're doing. Because again, there's such great potential. There's been such a change and advancement with what they've been doing over the last, since Maggie's been in position. And, I just don't want us to lose sight of the help that the station needs right now.
I'd like to say something about the KPFK, building and office space. Having lived through the SNL debacle of the 1980s, I have been reading that we are about to have a similar debacle in our commercial real estate community. And I will remind people that when Jeb Bush defaulted on a $40 million multi-story building in Miami, he was able to never move out and buy the entire building from the Real Estate Investment Trust for $4 million. And I think there may be a lot of opportunities in the near future for real estate, because offices and retail are all in free fall right now. Just FYI.
Can I just say, you know, just for a moment, going back to YouTube, that, for example, we can have in the description of our YouTube videos a link to the KPFK website, a link to donations to Pacifica. We can have something at the end of the video saying, please support community radio or public, you know, Pacifica Radio, and here's how you can do it. There are a lot of ways around accepting the default advertising that YouTube might put in front of our videos or after our videos. And so, as I said, I'd like to have further deliberation on that prior to developing a revenue stream directly from YouTube rather than from listener support.
And I think too, our goal with entering into that world of YouTube is to build a listenership, you know, as Ace was saying, an audience that's under the age of 40, right. You know, and being able to, broaden what we do. And that's even true with social media or, you know, entering the world of TikTok. There's just so many avenues that we can reach a younger audience. And that's the primary goal.
I'm not opposed to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Not opposed to YouTube. It's just how we do it.
Correct.
And I'm opposed to commercial advertising attached to our YouTube channels.
You know, one of the things we might want to do is bring Egberto into this conversation because he spends a great deal of time and energy. He's got a radio program. He's got the video program. He's got a Substack, and he is constantly marketing all of them at once. And it puts us in the position where we may end up needing to have somebody just running an entire network of our best, broadcasters. I know that, up in Berkeley, we've got a guy that does books and he's well loved. And we've been trying for 2 years now to get him to actually just put a camera in front of his face so we could link it up. And he says he wants help. He doesn't, you know, he's like me. He's my age. You know, he doesn't know how to do this stuff. And this is something that maybe Ace can help with, is starting in LA and going throughout all five of the stations. This is something we should talk to Ursula and crew about. You know, I'm sure that there are stations there that are currently doing some sort of video and it doesn't need to be YouTube.
Yeah, let me know who I should be in touch with. I just, like I said, I'm getting our video and social media presence cleaned up.
Egberto Williams.
Yeah. And Ace is doing a great job doing research on all of our social media channels too, because it's the same thing. People randomly over the years have started Facebook and Instagram or, you know, Twitter accounts that are under the guise of a station or the Pacifica Foundation, and it really is not connected to it. So yeah. We have to go in and try to clean all of that up.
Amy Goodman's a perfect example of that. Amy Goodman started out WBAI, and then there was a kerfuffle there, and she walked. And she's now making relatively enormous sums of money, and we're now paying her.
Well, I don't think we're paying her anymore. But about just very quickly, about 7 years ago, well, we had about 2,500 followers on Instagram. And our web person at the time, Ali Lexa, you know, he was teaching me how to post. And we already had, you know, over 25,000 followers on Facebook, our Facebook page. But he kind of taught me how to post. And so I started just posting and videos and reposting a lot. And now we almost have 14,000 followers. And when I've looked at all the other stations, we're miles ahead of all the other stations. The average is, you know, 3,000 to 5,000 followers. So you just have to have someone consistently posting. It's like my son is 27. He doesn't go to Facebook. He's on Instagram and TikTok and, you know, some other social media platforms. But, you know, Instagram is a great place to pull in young people. So Ace and I are working on stuff like this that, you know, is the future of the station, because we're all going to be, well, Ace is young. He's just a few years.
We're all going to be dead.
Yeah. And it's true. We have to think about, you know, how can we get on YouTube and do it properly and without, you know, selling our souls.
Well, a lot of that goes back to blogs. I did blogs, you know, 15 years ago. Or
but that's where Substack comes in, because that is hugely popular, you know, that yes. We at KPFK needs a Substack.
And if you don't update it daily, or in radio's case, several times a day or maybe even hourly, then people will lose it.
I post daily on the IG page and in stories where it's linked to the Facebook page. So, you know, you all link all your accounts too. But anyway, it's definitely a team effort.
It sure is.
Absolutely. Hey,
Steve Kukala, your virtual hand has been up. Are you seeking recognition?
As soon as the chair recognizes me.
You're recognized, Steve.
Back to finance committee business. In reviewing this budget, a pretty simple definition of self-sustaining presented itself to me. If we compare listener support against operating expenses, if listener support is sufficient to meet operating expenses, I think we could consider a station self-supporting. It's a subject that we've tiptoed around. Someday we need to define it. And that seems like a simple definition to me. As far as the YouTube, I don't care about, or I should say I don't care. I believe the driver there is it's to drive people to radio, because we are a radio foundation, and it's a way of advertising or whatever development. I don't know how you guys got diverted into the income potential there, but it is a way to advertise the stations. Thank you.
Speaking of finances, Stephanie has put the spreadsheet up again. Do you have more to say, Stephanie?
No, when Steve had brought up income, then I realized I had stopped sharing. So I went to find it and then somehow quickly got kicked out of Zoom, but then kicked back on. I don't know. It's there if we need it. I just heard the word income statement and thought you needed my screen again.
Okay.
So as we update this, what I'll do is rather than waiting in between meetings, because I think we just got another update for the KPFK budget, filling in projections for through the end of the year. And that just came in right before this meeting. And I knew if I'd mailed it out, it would have confused everybody. As we get those updates, I'll just send them out. Not that they're to be discussed at a meeting, but just so you see the updates as we see them. We also just updated WPFWs. So I don't know if you want me to send those out to the committee also in between meetings. And then I still think that we're on track that we can start looking at the budgets and, approving those budgets in August, September. Well, we're in August, September.
I would like to encourage you to mail those out to the, you have access to the National Finance Committee email group, correct?
Yes, I do.
Excellent. Then I would definitely encourage you to email those out.
Okay. Just as we get updates, because we do get updates quite often, you know, when things come in and then a station will change the revenue or something will be coded differently and they have to be updated. So I'll just make notes. I haven't taken a look at the PFW one, but I'll make a note.
Steve, your hand's up again.
Yeah, I heard the ED report at the PNB meeting. Is it possible to get a copy of that? I have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you referenced stuff in it on the stream, but I didn't. Actually, well, I had no ability to see.
Yeah, and a lot of I usually do a confidential and then a shareable report. And the only thing I really remove from the shareable report are the names of our vendors and then the bank balances for the stations. But since this is the National Finance Committee, I think that those can be, I'm comfortable sending those to the National Finance Committee. I just don't want the names of the vendors, for example, then shared with LSB members that are then they call up and, you know, they that somehow it goes someplace else. And then a vendor realizes, oh, we've paid that person, but we've not paid this person, you know, and the same with the bank balances, because even though we have like a restricted account with money, I then don't want somebody to say, oh, they have money in this account, so therefore we can take this or take that, whatever. But I'm comfortable sending the confidential report to the National Finance Committee. Is that okay with this committee or?
We are composed of two different groups, the LSBs and the PNB members.
Mm-hmm.
PNB members have all signed a agreement not to share this information. I don't know what your responsibility or what your thoughts are regarding it, having the LSB members sign the same confidentiality agreement.
We all did. We've already done that.
Yeah, I think the NFC did, didn't they?
Yeah, we all did on the NFC, yeah.
But let me also, if I might weigh in here, the shareable executive director reports are distributed to each of the LSPs.
Yeah.
And I would be happy to, I don't understand, perhaps you didn't receive it, perhaps it wasn't sent to the KPFA LSB, but it should be.
I signed one for the PNB, so it doesn't matter to me.
No, I'm talking about the executive director's report.
Oh. But I was just thinking for the National Finance Committee, if they got the confidential version, they could get a better understanding of the aged payables to date, the bank statement to date, the amount of money that the, you know, central services is getting paid, and any of that financial information that I usually pull from the confidential. So I'll send that out to with the with the WPFW and the updated KPFK numbers, and if we have any other updated numbers that might have come in overnight.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody. Thank you, Ace and Maggie, for your report, and of course Stephanie.
Thank you.
Question here.
Okay, Paul.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to send us the confidential one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can just, cause I have a report due in a few hours and, you know, those things are useful if they're not a month old. So is it okay if I just, make a summary out of it and, you know, don't name anything, of course. That's okay, right?
Yeah, do you usually get the shareable one? Cause I send it out usually the day after a PMB meeting and sometimes the same night,
I'm not getting any of them lately. I used to. I have in the past gotten both.
Paul's not
I haven't
PNB.
Got them lately.
Paul is not on the PNB, so he would not get any of the PNB notes.
No, but he would get it. It is the responsibility though of the PNB directors when they get the shareable to share with their LSBs and committees.
I don't get them anymore.
Okay. I'll send it to you directly.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just writing it out and shareable to our poll. Okay.
I think we're finished with our meeting. Is that correct? And Christina, just let me ask you, did you sign the confidentiality agreement? Oh, good. Thank you. If you signed it, then everybody got it. And you had your hand up for a moment.
You're muted, Christina.
Yeah, I have a question. What can I share for our next board meeting at KPFK? Or Myla, if you can send what I can...
Right. I did send it, I believe, but I will resend to our board the last shareable executive director's report that Stephanie sent to the national board.
And
Myla, do you want me? I'll just change my to-do note here. I'll send the ED report to the whole NFC of both the confidential, which includes the names of vendors, and the shareable, just has basic info. You could send that to your LSBs if you want.
I'm pretty sure I have both, but if you...
Okay, but I'll just put it all in one email, then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay.
So I'll do the confidential and the shareable, and then I'll also send the updated And I'll send them in two separate emails for the title so they're easier to sort through, the updated actuals for WPFW and KPFK.
Thank you.
So you're sending a shareable also now?
Correct.
Okay. So we could post that. Okay. Thank you.
Correct.
By the by, Steve Kulaka did a very good job of creating a version of that that had graphs, colored graphs that made it really easy to see what was going on. Have you seen that, Stephanie?
I saw it. Yes. Yes, I did.
Any reason that can't be sent out?
Was that in reference to just KPFK?
Yes, yes. It was.
Yeah, that was the one. No, I don't see why it couldn't.
Good. Okay, Steve, go ahead and send it out to the finance committee. Do we have? I see Paul.
They should have it.
What's that? Oh, Steve.
They have it.
Steve says everybody's got it. All I know is I got it. Do we have any more business to conduct?
I move to adjourn.
One last question. So that guy's name, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. Was Umberto something?
I'll text you his information right now, Ace.
Thank you.
Umberto Willis. And if you can get a hold of him, he's a really sweet guy. And,
Ace, I'll text you his contact.
So you're going to get his contact information from somebody?
From me, from Myla.
Okay. Stephanie had also volunteered to give
That's
it.
Okay. Myla got it.
I'm out of here. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. And thank you, Otis.
Hi.
So long.
No, we just ended.